Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to talk primarily about our Old Testament lesson today, lesson from Genesis. But I think we have to back up just a little bit to get the context, because it might be a little bit hard to figure out just taken on its own. I think you probably remember how the story begins, that God spoke to Noah and told him to build an ark and to take into the ark two of every kind of animal in order to be prepared for the great rain and flood that was to come. And this is one of the Bible stories that we love to tell children. It makes a great picture, and there's all sorts of posters. We've got a banner of it back near the adult education class. We've got a toy at home that's got all the different little animals that go in and out. Our grandchildren love to play with it. It's just it's a fun image, you know, all these happy animals with their poking their heads out of the ark, and Noah looks kind of like Santa Claus there up on top. Yay, Noah, he saved all the animals. That's what we think the story is all about. But why was the ark necessary in the first place? Well, Genesis chapter 6 tells us that the Lord saw that the wickedness of humankind was great in the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of their hearts was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made humankind on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. And so God made it rain for 40 days and 40 nights, blotting out every living creature that was not in the ark. Blotting out, that means death. And death is not usually part of a happy children's story. That's not how we usually prefer to think about God. We like to think about God as being on our side, as a kind and tolerant grandfather, or as a grandmother who will forgive us anything as long as we say we're sorry. But in this story, God is the one who is sorry. God is sorry to have made us at all. God wants to wipe out the problem and start over. And God does. God wipes out most of the population of the earth. Well, after the rain has stopped and the flood waters have gone down, it's time for a great repentance scene. It's time for Noah to say to God, "Wow, humankind has been so wicked, and it's no wonder that you blotted out almost the whole earth. Just give us another chance. We'll try to be not quite so sinful. We'll do better this time, we promise. We'll change." Well, this is kind of a good Lenten theme. The beginning of Lent is a good opportunity to reflect on our shortcomings and to promise to change, to confess our sins. And for some people, the confession of sins is something new, but Presbyterians, we do it every week. Prayer of confession is a standard part of our worship service. Does that mean Lent is just more of the same? Or worse, is Lent kind of a self-abasing overkill? I hope it's not, because the acknowledgement that we have been in error provides the opportunity to change. Sin means being entrenched in doing things our own way. We have closed ourselves off from God and closed ourselves off from the impact of what we do on other people. And if we don't see any fault in ourselves, why should we change? And so the end of the flood seems like a perfectly logical time for Noah to promise on behalf of future generations to turn over a new leaf. And yet, it doesn't happen. Instead, God recognizes that the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. And nothing is going to change that, God recognizes. Or at least nothing that humans can do by themselves. And so God decides to do something remarkable. Have you figured it out? God decides to change God's self. We might even say that God repents. The Hebrew word for repent is shuv, and shuv literally means to turn. God turns from one kind of relationship with women and men to another kind of relationship. So instead of responding to human imperfections by totally destroying us, now God chooses to make an everlasting covenant. God says, never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. The whole story of the flood and how it came about, it makes it clear that God was in the right. God had good grounds for judging the earth. God isn't guilty of anything in causing this flood. And yet, at the end of the story, God repents. God promises to change. Humans are not the ones who change in this story. It is God who changes. I think that's really counterintuitive. Why on earth would God, whom we believe to be perfect and sinless, why would God do that? Well, if you just think, sometimes this kind of thing happens, actually, in troubled relationships. For example, a son, maybe drug addicted, maybe running with the wrong kind of gang, a son lives with his loving mother, and the son is constantly getting in trouble, and his mother pleads with him to change, but he's not interested in changing. And finally, the mother realizes that the only person that she has the power to change is herself. And so she begins to react differently to her son. She doesn't bail him out of trouble this time. She changes the locks on her house. And the son resists violently. He is trying to get her to change back. After all, this system has been working really well for him. But the mother is persistent, and she continues to take responsibility for herself and for her own needs to change. And eventually, the son has to change, however reluctantly, because the world around him has changed, and he can no longer live in it as he used to. And it is likewise with God. God accepts that humankind will not change by itself, and God values us, God loves us so much that God decides to be the one who will change. And inevitably, this has an impact on us. We are going to have to change despite ourselves. Well, despite this guarantee, really, that we're going to be changing, the covenant, the promise that God makes with us, provides us with enormous security and confidence. We have God's promise. And we've got a visual reminder in the clouds and the rainbow of that promise. Never again will God act to destroy the whole earth. And this security is the basis for a whole new relationship between God and us. It's going to take a while for this relationship to develop, and it is not fully apparent to us until after the birth of Christ. But this new relationship is one that cannot be broken. God has promised it with an everlasting covenant. We see an echo of this in the New Testament story. Immediately after Jesus' baptism, the Spirit drove him out into the wilderness, and he spent 40 days there facing temptation. And we don't hear the specifics of how Jesus was tempted or how he resisted. You can find that expanded story in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke. But here, as in the other Gospels, Jesus resists temptation. He is tempted and yet is without sin. And eventually, Jesus will make atonement for us. Jesus' death on the cross is part of the way that God changes God's self to bring us closer, to gather us in and to redeem us from sin. And death, Jesus' death, will not be the final word, because Easter and the resurrection are just around the corner from Good Friday. As we journey through Lent the next 6 weeks, we come to realize what these changes are that are being worked in us. And our progress towards Good Friday and Lent and Easter is part of our growth, part of this new relationship with God, part of this new relationship that makes it possible for sinfulness to stop dominating our lives. Never again will our humanity separate us from God, because God has come to earth in human form and God has redeemed us to new life. Lent is a time to reflect on Jesus' journey toward the cross, to deepen our own discipleship, and to become more faithful in following him. Maybe that sounds like hard work. And frankly, if we take it seriously, it is hard work. No one said being Christian should be easy. And yet, becoming more and more faithful disciples is possible, not because we are so good and so worthy in and of ourselves. Remember, the inclination of the human heart is evil from youth. Our Lenten journey is based on God's faithfulness, because God has pledged God's self to us, because God has made covenant after covenant with us, promise after promise. And that is the foundation for our faithfulness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.